You're listening to a MAGFest 14 special presentation on the Fat Gatsby Network.
I'm in the elevator. I don't remember which time today, but there's this couple that walks in. They've got...
They just start fucking in front of me.
Right in front of me. And then I start directing them.
Tell this story in your podcasting voice, Ben.
Okay. So there's... there's a couple that walks in. They've got a lot of stuff with them because they're checking out, I believe. And they're dressed up still. Like, or at least maybe the girl was. I don't remember if the guy was. But... you know, they're talking about stuff, and then she makes a comment about how blah 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 Undertale, and she's like, you know, I really like the game, and she's like, you know, you would know this specific character because it was blah 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 blah. He's like, yeah, well, I like good things, and she's like, yeah, I do too, but I'm really disappointed with the fan base now. God, that panel last night was just such a cluster. It wasn't fun at all, and blah, blah, blah.
The NAFTA blue panel, I'm guessing.
That would be my guess, too.
Yeah. Well, and, it didn't sound like the... I mean, I don't know what those people had in mind.
Right.
But the description was just to, like I said, eat, have a sandwich, then go in and lie on the floor and feel like garbage.
Yep.
And that's probably... They probably just thought it would be funny to do that.
Yep.
And,
for a whole hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just thought it was really funny, because, like, the way she's... describing things, like, she sounds like the rest of the fans anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, we're good now.
All right,
getting clean audio.
Hey guys, hi, welcome to this car ride. We didn't see you there.
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
Hey,
did you come so that we could stop at the adult superstore?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, guys. We're riding back from MAGFest. This is Tim. Ben's here.
Hey.
Dave's here.
I'm here.
Weiss is here.
Oh.
Wait.
Nope.
Weiss.
Shit.
Weiss is here.
Fuck me.
We forgot Weiss.
Oh, fuck. We forgot Weiss.
Quick, stop the recording.
Turn around.
We forgot Weiss. We forgot Weiss.
There's no Weiss here.
No, there's no Weiss. He decided to not ride in a car back up to Rochester to fly back to... Austin is flying back from Washington tonight.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's just us three as everyone tunes out because everyone came here for the Weiss.
Yep.
This is the sleepy cast.
Yeah, I don't know. Even though last night I got close to 6 hours of sleep.
I did good-ish.
I felt better. I mean, we've been in the car now and I'm full.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think it's the quesarito that did it.
Yeah. Just there putting me down.
Yeah. The beds at the hotel were not as good as they have been in the past.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's time for them to swap them out already or what, but
those beds are getting worn out.
Well, so it was very bouncy and very springy, and I slept with Steve this weekend, and he would get into bed quietly.
TMI.
Well, I didn't say we were fucking, but we were fucking. No, he got in the bed quietly, but he tosses and turns like a motherfucker at night. And
oh, yeah, because
so,
usually Weiss sleeps with Steve.
Usually I sleep with Weiss.
Oh, and Steve sleeps in the closet.
Sometimes. That or a bathtub or wherever he finds his spot.
Yeah.
no, but it was Weiss and Corey, and Dave was on the floor with sometimes a working mattress and sometimes not.
This was not the most comfortable MAGFest.
Oh,
I feel
I'm
really
sorry,
bad.
Yeah. Man, I was on a nice, big, like, queen-sized air mattress that was, like, really... The first night, like, it was a bit squishy and, like, some air... seemed to seep out during the night, which is usually my air mattress problem, but it was nice and firm the last two nights, and I slept pretty soundly on it.
Yeah. It wasn't bad overall, but toward the,
Ben turned me on to some drugs.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I, Advil PM, I am the official spokesperson.
Oh,
that, a combination of that and earplugs, and, that's how I sleep now.
Eh.
But even with Steve, like, bouncing the bed, like, I would wake up early in the morning with that shit, so.
Wow.
And then there was the one morning that we forgot to close the curtains all the way, so it got really fucking bright. Go figure, right at dawn.
Yeah. Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
You woke with the sun.
Sarate.
I mean, I just can't. I just don't sleep that long. But
right,
I got decent enough. I mean, I slept quite a bit that first night. Even on a squishy mattress, I slept quite a bit.
That's cool. That's cool.
But yeah.
So it was a MAGFest.
It's over already. Apparently,
went by.
It fucking flew by, man.
So sad.
Like, oh. Crazy how fast it went by.
Yeah.
And distressing.
But crazy how much I have of memories of different things, though. Because normally, I would have these sporadic, very few memories because most of them were spent at the table. and nothing, like, it was nice to always catch up with people at the table, but it was never really, like, an adventure.
Now that I think about it, I think that's why it felt like it flew by. We thought we'd have so much more time not sitting at a table, but time sitting at the table was like stretched out.
Yeah.
Time passes more slowly at the table.
Yeah.
So not being locked down at the table, we got to do more fun things and the time just flew by.
I just feel like, how would we even had a table at this MAGFest?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess just people wouldn't have been able to... That's what you would have been doing during the fitness panel.
Yeah, I would have been at the paint table during the fitness panel. We probably would have closed up for other parts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for improv and Zelda.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Robert was saying that, you know, 10:30 at night, the fucking dealer room's still hopping. He didn't want to close up because he was still seeing people.
Yeah. Yeah. At 1 in the morning last night, I mean, there were still a couple tables open.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Mad Gear table practically stays open 24/7 at MAGFest. What?
I'm just thinking, like, as a Fallout 4 joke, it'd be really funny if we walked through there and, like, there's one table that's open 24/7, and in the wee hours of the morning, it's a Mr. Gutsy that's selling you stuff.
Oh,
like in Diamond City. We should work on that for next year.
We don't have a table.
No, for someone else. Like the physics. We can do that for
build
them.
Someone else a Mr. Gutsy.
Yeah. It sounds like something Steve would want to do.
Yeah. We'll make a Mr. Gutsy costume and then sell it on eBay.
Enter our contest now to win your Mr. Gutsy table.
Purchase necessary. Oh, so fucking necessary.
What was the coolest thing?
Name That Tune.
Name That Tune was great this year.
I wish I got down there for that.
Name That Tune was insane.
Yeah.
It was fucking insane.
It was a mob scene. And it was a great final. Like, Papers, Please, the previous champion reclaiming his crown.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were up in the afterglow of the Magloaf Challenge. I guess more on that later.
Sure.
And me and Devin were getting ready to go down, and I saw a picture that Rez posted of the line for Name That Tune, which was stretched across the atrium down actually below the room. And we got there, and just like the line of people to sign up was just never ending. Just never ending. And we ended up with like well over 100 signups. And I think some of those people didn't know what was happening. I had an inexplicable number of people asking me about signing up teams. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, it was clearly, it must have been a lot of people who've never been to the panel before.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, I was, I was just like, where are you getting this team idea from? Why do you think that? No, it's all individual. And then people being like, oh, there's already, 80 signups. I'm not going to get to play. And we have to say, like, no, we draw them at random. Like, sign up. Everybody has an equal chance. There was, like, and some people leave.
Yeah.
You know, and some people actually, there was actually one person whose name was called. And they were like, yeah, no, I'm good. You don't want to go up there.
Once I saw it,
it is. Dude, it's fucking.
It was fierce.
Really intimidating to go up there.
Yeah.
Like, It is not easy to go up there.
That doesn't look like an adult superstore so much as a shed.
That's
sorry.
The idea.
All right, anyway.
That's not the superstore. That's just a store.
It said superstore, though.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
You should see the non-superstore.
Yeah, I expect a Walmart of porn.
Yeah.
Shit.
What?
My water is just not complying.
I don't want it rolling around under my feet.
Yeah.
There, I'm done with the film, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck that bill.
What the hell was I going to say? Something about that tune. Yeah, daunting. No. Like, it is, there's a lot of pressure that to be up on stage. And, like, from where I'm standing, I can see the nerves. Like, even in, you know, papers, just, like, that tension.
Yeah.
Like, there was one heat with, there was a girl and a couple other dudes, and the girl didn't end up getting any, but, like, I could see her hand shaking above the thing. Like, you're up there in front of a bunch of people, like, you know, you don't want to look stupid.
Right.
And...
Well, and you want to answer in time. Like,
yeah, you want to answer in time. But I think people are afraid to be wrong in front of people. And I'm just like, man, just whatever. Throw it out there. Who cares? And I said that several times. I'm like, it is hard to be up here and like, place this stuff.
Yeah.
To be in the hot seat. But yeah, so eventually, yeah, I got everyone signed up. I had dueling sign-up sheets.
Huh.
I had, because I'd get two people signed in at a time just so we could get things going. And the funny thing is, like, usually I request a 2-hour block for Name That Tune, but for some reason I only requested an hour and a half this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
There was, like, some degree of pressure on our end to be like, fuck, we got to get this over with, and Robert was after us.
Damn.
So we actually cut the song play time from 30 to 20 seconds. And we went a little bit over, but it was fine.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably keep the song play to 20 seconds in the future, because it's a rare case when it gets that far in a song that we're not just playing 10 more seconds of dead air. Usually, within the first 20 seconds, people know it, or they don't. And that's it.
Right.
So it just ends up saving a lot of time, the audience staring. Huh. But, yeah, it was definitely a big thing this year. Like, I was talking to, like, Steph and Victoria, and they're both, like, you know, kind of surprised at how big it had gotten. Because that room seats 700 people, and it was almost close to full.
Yeah.
Like,
Steph and Victoria work at MagFest.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. They're like, Victoria is guest relations, and Steph is the head honcho of running the show. But mostly we interface with Victoria at this point.
Yeah.
Really, the crowd was comparable to improv, which was nuts.
Yeah.
It was that many people in there. And I think the side, like, opposite me was a little not seated quite as many people, but...
Back by the sound booth, there were people, like, chilling on the floor.
Oh.
You know, armchairing the whole thing.
Okay. That's where Matthew was. He was back there, I think.
Oh. I didn't see him on my side.
Oh, okay. Well, he wasn't wearing his fucking Union Jack suit, so he was in incognito mode. I only got to see him for a quick handshake and a hello afterwards, he wasn't wearing...
A handshake and a blow?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. Man, when you've known...
That's how we welcome people to America.
When you've known Matthew for a few years, that's how it goes. When he walked up to me, like, I didn't notice him until he was, like, right next to me, because he wasn't wearing that fucking suit.
But I can hear how much fun people have, like, spectating.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, they're all like, oh, I feel like I know that, or, oh, that's an old... Especially the younger kids who, like... They know the songs, but they know it from something else. I heard one people say, oh, I know that song, but it's because it was in a rhythm game.
Ah.
Now, who did it with you? Was it you and Devin?
This year it was me and Devin
and Matt Reeves.
Okay, so it was all three.
Yeah, it was all three of us. And so...
Having the scoreboard was cool.
Yes, and that worked out. So Devin was running the scoreboard. Like, we had a visual scoreboard, score readout. And... when I could get his attention, he was also helping me pay attention for close buzz-ins, but like you're just not always like not because sometimes like Zerum just starts the song, and you just don't happen to be looking there, and it's something where they ring in really, really quickly.
Yeah,
like if I just happen to be glancing at my notes or the scoreboard, and it's just like, well, oh fuck.
We're gonna work on that.
Okay. Can't do that.
What?
What? How would like, you work on that?
Getting you a buzzer system.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm in the mood for
engineering.
Making up something. I've got a fucking Raspberry Pi at home that I want to
do something with.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna get it to tweet when my sump pump goes down. So I want to see if I can do some other shit with it.
Yeah. So.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was definitely good with three people doing things and Devin like adding in his commentary here and there and like helping to keep the crowd lively.
Devin's very good about playing the crowd and mm-hmm. keeping things moving or keeping things up while stuff has to happen.
Yeah. Just adding to the fun.
Yeah.
Adding to the fun. So yeah, that was great. And so it was definitely a big increase in attendance and interest. And I had people who like didn't know there was a Name That Tune panel at MAGFest.
Yeah.
Somehow. There was a couple people that came up afterwards and were like, oh God, I've been coming to MAGFest. I didn't know you guys have been doing this. And yeah.
So much stuff going on.
So much stuff going on, but like I just can't believe that they would miss that. Like
yeah.
At some point you think you know, but and there's this steady growth of like kind of mythology around Name That Tune, just because like the same people have been coming for years, and a lot of the same people have got up to play, you know, over the course of the years, like a couple times. Like there's that one guy who goes by Pale Man, who's been up there 3 years in a row.
Oh.
Mega Matt always shows up, but he hasn't gotten called in, like, years for some reason.
Huh.
I don't know why. Like, last time I think he actually got to play was at, like, MAGFest 5 when he made it to the finals.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was good. It was really good.
It was good.
It gets better every year.
It was really good. Yeah.
I always enjoy when I see it. I felt bad I did not go.
Yeah, it's busy.
Yeah.
So busy. It was the same time as the one-ups.
I didn't see the one-ups. I don't remember what I was doing, because I was up there for the Maglo after the Maglove challenge. Maybe I was just hanging out there because I came in late to that.
Yeah.
So my highlight of the things that we did, I would say, was probably improv. Because I just had so much fucking fun with everyone this year. And the new people were great.
Dex the Swede.
Dex the Swede.
And, Ruben.
Yep.
Don't know his last name.
Ruben the IT guy.
Ruben the IT guy.
Ruben the American.
Return of Corey Gullibeck.
Yeah.
Yes. I was so happy to see Corey again.
Yeah.
Like, performance. And Corey said, he's like, I'd come back to MAGFest just for the opportunity to do improv again.
Well, and that happened.
With us.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, well, like, it was funny because when he told me he was coming, I said something to Darren. I'm like, you know, Corey's coming, and, like, he could do the improv with us, and we'll probably be hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that all worked out. So he got his badge comped as a result, which is nice. But, that was a really, really good show. Had a lot of fun with it. But non-Fat Gatsby or non-stuff that we were in, I would say...
Oh, Jesus.
Hello. I would say the highlight for me was probably the Journey Live, even though I only got to see, like, the last 25 minutes of it and have never played the game before. I was just blown away by how fucking amazing and beautiful that whole thing was.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that. Sounds like it was really impressive and sort of a magical MAGFest moment.
Yeah.
It was a magical MAGFest. So what this was, for those that didn't know or didn't see it, I mean, there was a lot going on at MAGFest. Like, there was so much going on with Into Creates. Oh, and I saw none of it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Like, they did two concerts.
No shit.
And there was shit with Keiji Inafune. And, like, I mean, one of those was during the fitness panel.
Oh.
But, like, the concerts, you know, I the only thing I made it to was Journey Live. That was, like, the only one of them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I only made it to our events.
Yeah.
Just because of how things worked out. But, yeah, Journey Live was Austin Wintory, the composer of Journey.
BAFTA nominated, BAFTA winning?
Grammy award Grammy, nominated.
Grammy nominated, BAFTA winning.
Austin Wintory.
That's awesome.
Put together this idea, and there was, you know, like, initially it was just going to be a thing at MAGFest, but then kind of turned into this whole thing where they did a Kickstarter, and they're doing it in a couple other cities.
Oh, nice.
Maybe a bit more, who knows? But, I mean, it's, you know, a good hour and a half show, I would suppose. But they had some, it's similar to what Bit Brigade does, except this was the actual fucking composer. So they had people playing Journey live, and it was more than one person. They had, like, five people, I think, that tagged on and
yeah,
off.
Yeah, because they introduced them all at the end.
Yeah, all at the end.
I was wondering how that worked out, so.
Yeah, so they had a few different people playing through Journey, and they had a live little orchestra there to play the music live as it went through.
I wouldn't call it little. That was a... I mean, it was
way in the back, so it was tough.
But that was a good size.
There was a sizable number of musicians on the stage in order to play the music, and they had, you know, lights, some light stuff going on.
I hope this isn't a cop coming up on me.
Okay, I hope it's not too. Was he gonna get you?
Oh, he might. I'm kind of speeding. No, the guy next to me is going faster.
Don't listen. This is not incriminating. Shit. Yeah, but they had, like, the lights turned down nice and low everyone was seated. And so it was like a garden show.
The people at, like, working for MAGFest at the doors were really good about keeping people moving.
Yeah.
So they weren't just standing blocking anyone's view and stuff like that. So
yeah, it was really interesting. Like, I got cool vibe. Like little goosebumps.
Yeah.
During some parts of it, again, I only caught the tail end of it, the last half hour or so, but it was like really, really good. And they had the sound effects turned up on the game, so you can still hear like the snow crunching and stuff.
Yeah, that was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Dave?
I didn't do anything. I saw like one voice acting panel. I caught a little bit of the voice acting workshop that Wes Johnson does every year. This year he had Ellen McClain and John Patrick Lowry up there with him, helping. And they're great. They're really fun, encouraging coaches. They're good at giving people some very basic advice that if you have never acted in your life, you can implement that stuff immediately, because that's really hard to break down for someone that is not, you know, like an artist. And they make it really entertaining. Everyone in that room was having a great time. Otherwise, I was pretty focused on just doing our business. Like our Battle Royale grudge match for Legend of Zelda. I thought that went great.
Yeah.
I was really happy with that. We had a good crowd, a lively crowd. They voted. There was good voter turnout this year, and I think that helped, you know, especially lower-income voters.
No, I've said it already, but a lot of the people at that panel in the audience had some really, really good, like, points to make about a lot of those games. I was so blown away by, like, the different thought process that they were doing from mine, and I'm just like, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's good that we keep our criteria open-ended. We just say, look, which is better?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter why.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it was, good discussion, good points, good arguments. And, yeah, that audio will probably be going up. I don't know how that's going to sound. Because we didn't have a mic for the audience, which is something that we're going to work on for the future.
They'll probably be audible, but a little fussy.
Yeah. So
Levelator does wonders.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people in the back might be lost, but we'll see. See how hot the mics were. That was a success, and I think a good chance you'll see that more in the future.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't just like our old X-Strike fans either.
Yeah.
Though I did see a few familiar faces in the audience, but yep. It was a lot of people I think that were just interested in Zelda. I got
to sign a copy of my off-campus soundtrack.
Nice.
Oh, that girl. Yeah, I was trying to remember. I can't remember.
I didn't have a name for her. I didn't get her name, but I don't remember it now.
I just remember, like, Wies and I both said we remember seeing her a lot, and that's the problem. Like, people blur together, and I recognize friendly faces, and yeah. I always feel bad when I don't have a name for them.
Yeah, I signed a couple things for her, and I actually ran, like, last night at, 3 in the morning is... Or close to 3 is Tina and I were moseying our way back through the Gaylord to exit. I ran into a couple of longtime X-Strike fans. If you remember the guy and his, I assume, girlfriend who had dressed up for Resident Horror back in the day, they had like Wesker and Jill. Yeah, those two.
I saw him this morning too.
Yeah.
He said he ran into you.
Yep. Yeah. That was cool. Just like really random. Yep. And like right when I had run into Lauren's brother for the first time and last time of the weekend. And who was tickled when I introduced him as Dickie's uncle.
Oh, that's awesome.
To Tina. Yeah. No, Dickie. No, Dickies. He did not go to MAGFest. Not yet.
He's not ready.
He can't handle this power.
A lot of children at MAG, a lot of babies and children at this MAGFest.
Yeah, and the little children rocking out at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because there's music everywhere at MAGFest. Like, and they had that kind of, like, drum and bass dance station that was kind of near the dealer room. And there was, like, a kid just tearing it up down there with some chick at, like, 1 in the morning.
I saw a father and son pair. The dad was dressed as Nightwing, and the son was dressed as Tim Drake Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Who was in the...
Maybe not Tim Drake. Maybe it's Damian Wayne, Robin. Oh, okay. Either way.
Who was in the elevator with me this morning when... you were. With the little boy. And he's like, everyone's leaving the con. Do you know what con this is? Or what convention this is? Poopy con.
Poopy con.
Yep.
Poopy we con. Did go to Poopy con.
Why does everyone go to Poopy con?
When we were in the... we left the party and moseyed down to the game room for a while. And... It's like, so we were down there for a couple hours, and it was still packed.
Yeah.
It was a packed fucking arcade.
I didn't even play an arcade game.
Up to 3 in the morning.
At all.
And the console room was pretty bumping close to 3 in the morning. There was a Rocket League tournament going on.
At 3 in the morning?
At 2 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a 2v2 Rocket League tournament going on while we were down there at 2 in the morning.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's like just so much of MAGFest that's going on that you just never see. And I'm sure that's like someone's highlight of the con.
Yep.
It's like, oh man, we played this Rocket League tournament in the middle of the night. And there was a bunch of people playing Street Fighter V.
Did you get a chance to play?
Nope. Well, I didn't want to, like, in the console area, the people playing, like, there was people who had their sticks and shit. And I was like, I don't want to, like, deal with that.
I don't want to whip out
and like, in the arcade, there was just, like, always so many people around. I kept hoping because Wood had it on his laptop and he had two sticks. We just never had the opportunity to get it set up.
Yeah.
And do it.
He got an hour, 35 minutes of sleep last night.
Oh, God.
He pulls out his watch and is like, yep, here's how much time I got.
Wes Johnson told me he had a spontaneous 2 a.m. screening of the John Waters movie he was in, A Dirty Shame.
No shit.
Because Ellen McLean had brought him a DVD copy of it to show off. So he was up till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and apparently there was a second Bit Brigade show last night that Al Sean told me about.
Damn.
And vaguely told me where it was, because I think it was a secret. But in the arcade, it like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning, there's a little stage in there with like a dude playing music, and he had a little crowd.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
I was like, what? Like, what? There's just... And they don't... Yeah.
like the spontaneous nature of
just that there's
Fest.
Stuff everywhere. Yeah, like they had the jam pod upstairs.
Yeah. Across some panels.
Like they really, it really is the music and gaming festival.
Yeah.
Like they really do make that happen, and there's just music freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what was the Dave. Do you have any idea what the jam? The thing across from the arena.
I never.
It wasn't Jam Space.
Oh, it was going on while we were doing the.
Yeah. You know, it was like Jam. I don't remember.
Clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So was it?
Though.
Was it like? Yeah, I don't. Was it like so? Before you go, you're ready for Jam Space. You can come to the Jam
check
Clinic
your shit.
And rehearse. Check
maybe.
Your shit. Maybe just try out some instruments. I don't know.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, like I saw they had like a drum kit set up and some other stuff. So maybe it was. A thing where if you didn't have instruments, you
or maybe
go
if you forgot something, if you forgot like the cable for your amp or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, that was back near the arena, and across from there they had set up this computer museum.
Yeah,
filled with old fucking shit.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
like old ass computer hardware.
What impressed me the most is that so many old computers had their... So many old computers had their monitors built in.
Yeah.
And they all looked like they were in pristine shape.
Yeah.
You know, that no fading or dimming or, like, lines going across. They were all looked crystal clear, like they were brand new.
But it was just, like, this space where, they had all these old computers set up with old computer games running natively on them. And you could play, like, local area multiplayer Doom on networked... PCs.
Did you see the giant, all that I can assume was a server that had the four monitors that were on a pole in the on top? It wasn't working when I was in there.
No, I don't think
I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But the monitors were like, they were flat panel monitors that were just like butchered apart and then put onto this pole. I don't know how to describe it.
But, they had like, you know, there's PC Engine in there.
Yeah. They had a bunch of old parts from computers in there, too. The most interesting, I thought, was when they were showing, like, the different hard drives.
Yeah, they had a bunch of hard drives.
And you see the 8-megabyte hard drive that was roughly the size of a pizza box, almost.
Those huge platters. Yeah.
Oh,
man.
God. 8 megs.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, it looked like two Wiis strapped together. Like, literally. It was a monster. But they also had... the cartridge pull-apart display in the case next to it. Yeah,
that was cool.
That was really neat.
Yeah.
That was really neat. And that arcade, the arcade, the game room, the indie area were all so much bigger.
Yeah.
Like, even on, I think Friday morning, they were wheeling in, like, more pinball machines.
Jesus. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there must have been, like, 30 pinball machines in there. Though some of them were always roped off for tournament.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked. But,
yeah, but apparently, like, it was a hardcore, like, you had to be top ranking in such and such to be able to play those.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, there were people that came from far walks of, well, not walks of life, but far areas, I guess, to
people
do it.
Came in for that.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, that was a specific thing.
Yeah, I guess Tiffany that kind of makes sense, like, something like that would happen in the pinball scene, where it's like, if you're going to get all these tables together, then it becomes a big deal.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
That you can have a real serious pinball thing, but just, like, holy shit, the machines. Like, Tokyo Attack, I think is what they're called, brought a ton of rhythm machines in there.
I don't know
if you'd seen, like, the Jubeat machine last year.
The what now?
It's called Jubeat. It looks like it's a cube.
Let's play a music game, maybe?
Yeah.
You don't have to if you don't want to. It's all right.
J-U-B-E-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
Jubeat. But, like, the panel and what you interface with is a 4x4... grid of squares, and like they like kind of light up. There's an indicator on them, the ones you have to tap along with the music.
Okay.
And some of them had a headphone jack on them. But it was a popular machine last year. This year they had 6. The line was 3 deep the whole weekend.
Holy shit.
And like when you go up there, you get to play a couple rounds, but like, so like to wait to play was like at least like 15-20 minutes.
Was there somebody up
Maybe
there organizing
it? Wasn't that
it?
Much. No. Just people were being respectful as far
That's
as
cool.
I could see.
Oh, good,
just
good.
Getting off. There, because I mean, you had to wait through like them selecting a song and then playing. So it was probably about, you know, each player was probably about on there for 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so you could be waiting quite a while just to get a chance to play.
Tim, did you get to play any Street Fighter V?
Nope.
Yeah.
I think I said that already.
Oh, sorry.
No, I played some pinball, of course. I played a bunch of pinball machines.
What? Really?
Yeah, there was a Ford Mustang machine that I really liked.
Huh.
I played Jurassic Park. Something that does not translate to pinball arcade.
Jurassic Park.
Like on, you know, the to digital, you know, video game pinball, even in pinball arcade where it's real tables. It's just like how bright the lights are on there. Like, there was an effect on the Mustang table where, like a ton of white lights came on to, like, simulate headlights, I'm guessing, and it was, like, blinding in that dark room. It was like, holy shit. And on some tables, it's just hard to keep track of the ball because there's so many lights, and it's very dim in there in their natural environment.
Yeah.
You know, they have Twilight Zone, Star Trek, you know, nice. Lots of... good tables. There was a couple tables. They had a sorcerer table that I didn't get to play because it wasn't working after a certain point in the weekend. There was like one from Pinball Arcade. They had a black hole machine there too. I think that disappeared.
I saw Gorgar.
Into a black hole?
Yeah, I played Gorgar. That was the one I was thinking of that I had played. I like to try to play those tables that I've played in Pinball Arcade just to dare and compare. They had Pinbot. Oh yeah, they had Pinbot.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, there's some shooter I played. You know, they got all the classic stuff. And
I didn't play anything in the arcade, but I did play... I sat down and played a lot of the indie games, and that was really cool. And obviously, we'll go more into... You will hear a lot more about the indie games that we played elsewhere. We will
coming soon.
Coming soon. But there were a lot of really impressive... games, and I don't usually get the chance to sit down and like give games a chance, but I was glad I took the time, and there were a lot of games that like the gameplay is really polished and fun, and I can't wait to play them. And most of them are going to be out. Like we heard a lot of people say, yeah, it should be like a month or two before it comes out.
I will tell you, like remember how we talked to the guys who made Flamberge last year?
Yeah,
they were there again.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that game's not done.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you for a fact that Aerobat is not done. We talked to that guy last year, and I think they were both talking spring. And Pixel Noir did do their Kickstarter, so that's, you know, happening. But they weren't there again this year.
Yeah. No, good point. Fingers crossed, though.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone hopes, but, yeah, like, there's a lot of them that are like, well, you know, this is a nights and weekends kind of project. Right. So... you gotta go left there.
To north,
no, just, yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
you have to not go right.
Right.
Might be more accurate. Don't fuck up.
Weez and I played a game, I think it was called This Cannot End Well.
Oh, yeah.
Or Will Not.
Oh, you guys did play that?
That was fun.
I saw a bit of the turn. We did talk to that guy, too.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a really fun game. Like, very simple in design and concept, but, like, I could play that like a bunch.
And that's a game you can buy right now.
Oh, it is.
For $1.
$1 direct from his website.
No shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a game we should buy.
Yeah. Keep an ear out for when that particular segment goes up on the website.
Nothing good can come of this.
Nothing good. That's it, yes.
And it's something obviously inspired a bit by like Nidhogg, Samurai Gun. A lot of these like very tense.
Yeah.
One multiplayer game. Yeah.
Oh, real.
Rizzle. For real, real, not for play, play.
Mm-hmm.
Brack.
The realist.
Brack.
Do we want to explain what Magloaf was?
Yeah, the Magloaf challenge. So fucking...
we promised we'd explain
fucking
that.
Robert V. Aldrich has long talked about how he doesn't like meatloaf. And finally, like... at some point, we called him out recently. It's like, maybe you just have not had a good meatloaf. And so Darren, who does make a good meatloaf, said, you know, he said, Robert, you will taste this meatloaf, this good meatloaf, and you must admit whether you like it, or Darren said he would prepare a meal of Robert's choosing at a future convention event.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. So I don't think video was taken of the proceedings. So it will only carry on through story and tale. down through the generations. But the loaf was presented to Robert V. Aldrich to the...
By candlelight?
To the music of the second Star Wars... The first full Star Wars Force Awakens trailer.
Oh, really?
The score of that, yes. There was a procession to bring out the utensils and the napkins. And the loaf was presented. Robert tasted the loaf, and Robert did not like the loaf. Apparently it's because Robert doesn't like his food to have taste.
Yep, apparently Robert likes bland as hell
food.
Yeah,
he doesn't like... Yeah, like, I was talking to his woman... And she was just saying how, what?
His woman.
His property.
Yeah. His property that I just friended on Facebook. He eats everything, like, plain, unspiced. He doesn't like any, you know, a lot of flavorful things on his food. So that's probably the problem.
Huh.
Is that because, yeah, so.
He told me he's weirded out by egg holding meat together. So he won't eat meatballs or anything like
wow.
that.
Wow. Wow.
Huh. I get that. Sure. I have, you know, we all have
our things.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I know a lot of people won't eat Jell-O because of the texture.
Yeah. And, yeah. But it was fun. Yeah. And I got dinner out of it, so, yeah. Yeah, if I
had... good meatloaf.
Yeah, if I had known when the wedding reception was going to be Saturday night, I wouldn't have paid for dinner any night.
Yeah, because, we celebrated the nuptials of our good friend Sean and Mackie.
Woo!
Yeah.
Many
happy returns.
Yes.
And, yeah, because Darren had a Mexican buffet on Thursday, and then there was the mag loaf with plenty of leftovers.
There was no
for
need
everybody
to buy dinner
on
any
Friday.
Night.
Yeah. Yeah, it just happened that I missed the memo regarding when the reception was starting and had already made dinner plans, so...
I missed Magloaf because I wanted other people to be able to eat that. Yeah. I didn't want to hog all the food.
I didn't know how much
he was going to make.
When I got there, it was gone.
It was gone.
Yeah, he didn't make a tremendous amount, but it fed the amount of people that were there and wanted meatloaf. yeah, so it was good.
Yeah.
Sriracha glaze.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was delicious.
Darren makes a good fucking meatloaf.
He does make a good fucking meatloaf. Robert, you're an idiot. yeah. Shit.
And that was the MAGFest that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had the fitness panel.
We had the fitness panel.
And that most of that should have been recorded and will probably go up, right? Yeah, I think a lot of that made it on mic, so... Up until we did the breakout session. So that should be a good 40-minute segment.
Yeah. Somewhere. There was a lot of good things in there.
Yeah, there was a lot of good things in there. And maybe a taste of things to come if future mags.
That taste is of meatloaf.
I've been hoarding money for MAGFest so that I could splurge if I wanted to. I did not spend nearly all that money. I still got any money for gas, I guess.
Yeah.
I did buy some Famicom Kunio-kun games today. So that was like my big bonanza, I guess. There's the word bonanza up there on that billboard, so I have to say it. So yeah,
my big quality in.
I got some Kunio games to play, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
It's basically, it's like, you know, it's still like the same as it was where I'm not interested in a lot of fan art or fan created stuff. Like, I like Fizzman's stuff, but like he's evolved out of my price range, kind of.
Yeah, good for him.
He learned to value his work. Like, God, the shit I got from him would cost so much more money now.
He's got luminaries like Keiji Inafune admiring his work now.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously. But it's like, if you look at like that fucking giant Bowser and Koopa Kid thing I got from him for like $120 back at like MAGFest 5. Now, that thing would probably be like $300. Yeah. And like that snake man I got from him would be like everything I ever got from him would have costed twice as much.
Yeah.
And I have like
shouldn't have.
Yeah. Should well, I mean like his process has
well,
definitely
that's true.
Gotten
he did change
too.
His process.
Like he remade
the barf
One River City sculpture.
Yeah.
And the new one is a lot better. But I the one that I have is still the best one.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll make another one of those because he likes me. I still got a bunch of his stuff around my house.
I've got the King of All Cosmos in my basement.
I got Katamari Cousin and trying to think. There's a Katamari Cousin, that's Lauren's, and that one lounges in our dining room windowsill.
Nice.
Chef Kirby's in there.
Oh yeah.
I got the River City Alex and Ryan.
Yep.
I got the Super Mario World clown car with all the Koopa kids.
Oh yeah.
I have Snake Man. I have Fever.
Oh.
I have the Singing in the Rain rabbit lamp.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a Yellow Devil with that thing broken. A part went missing.
Oh.
I'm not too worried. That was, like, only, like, $20-$30 because it's just, like, a big wad of... It's just, like, a sphere with an arms and legs attached to it. So if any of them was going to break irreparably, I'm glad it was that one, though it still makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
Just a little sad, but I love Fizzman, and he's definitely, like, got quite a machine going on for getting, you know, because he actually mass-produces things now, so, and has some really nice-looking stuff.
Yeah.
Real.
Lots of talented artisans down in the vendors area. But Tim, as you like,
yeah.
I mean, very impressive stuff. Just not necessarily. I'm not in the market for, you know, anime wall prints or anything.
Yeah, well, it's like I don't want. A lot of the art, like the. I don't need hats. I mean, I do need hats, but I don't want those hats.
Yeah.
Or like towels or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like all the retro game vendors are either. Kind of overpriced, or I just have everything, which is why generally when I end up buying a game, it's for Mad Gear because it's all import stuff, and that's kind of what I've discovered interests me more at this point. Is just like getting a few of that kind of thing. Though I said if I did see a copy of Cannon Spike for Dreamcast, I would have paid upwards of like $80 to $100 for it because that's like the last Dreamcast game that I really, really want. And it's time to put that one to bed.
Where the fart in my car. Thanks.
Oh, like, I was going to hold it for another 5 hours.
Yeah.
Nope.
Just under five.
Huh. Yeah, I think that was everything. It just really flew by.
Yeah.
Flew by.
Ooh. Goodbye, MagFest.
Bye, MagFest. Bye, Mag 16 or Mag 14. I guess as you'll hear our announcer say, I don't know what he was thinking.
There's still time to change that.
Okay. Now I said something, so you can't.
That's right? Fine.
Well, he actually cut. Easier. He actually cut it about an hour earlier.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
See you. Bye.
Bye.